You know, all of us have that measure of faith. But whether we exercise it, put it to use, makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? It's nothing good that I did. All I did was exercise faith in the one that could. And I found that forgiveness. As Michelle was singing that song there, I thought about the ocean that I've seen. I thought about the great big huge trees, the redwoods, and those big huge pines. And I live here in the middle of the United States. And no matter what I climbed on top of, I wouldn't be able to see those trees. I wouldn't be able to see the ocean. But I've seen them. And no matter what you say to me, you can't make me doubt that they're real. Well, thank God, I've experienced the blessings of the Lord. I've experienced His Holy Spirit. And there ain't nothing man can do to make me doubt that it's real. Why, I'm tasting of it. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's there. It can be obtained. Why? People wake up and realize God is real. And I can just imagine if I'd have been one of the men, either walking or on the horseback, that went through that country for the first time and saw those huge big trees. Then you come back to this part of the United States and you go telling people about it. I'm sure when you walked off, they'd say, I wonder what he was drinking at that time. They ain't no such tree could exist. But when you see it for yourself, you know, words can just not make it big enough. You feel so little standing there at the base of one of those trees, looking up at it. Realizing how long that tree has been there, how long it lived. But you know, when you stand at the blessings of God, when He heard and answered your prayers, and you'll think you're not the first one that's been there. Down across time, God has done that for each and every one of His children. He blessed you in the midst of it. Bigger than and God's got it. And they're scared to death to try. They'll try a new drug that they don't even have the slightest idea what it's going to do to them. But then what God says, come and try me, it's good. They say, no, I was scared. I'm praying. Somebody might call me, my friend's here. I ain't got a friend here but Jesus. He's the best thing I've ever known. slipping away. And we're going to face God with what we've lived, what we've done. And you and I, when we stand there on that day, at the very best, we're going to feel ashamed and inadequate for what that we have to offer the Lord. But isn't it wonderful if He sees the blood? He says, well done. Paul, at his very best, he didn't feel like he had done as much as he should have. But he realized he had been faithful. He had kept the faith. He had fought the fight. So you ought to wait on him. You and I, when we get on our knees to pray, we got that communion between us and God. There's no greater peace can be found. You know, we come to church last week thinking we was going to preach on this verse, and the Lord changed it. And this morning, it started back upon us again, and I don't know what's going to be the outcome of it, but we're going to read it and go with what the Lord wants us to say and then dismiss. But in the fourth chapter of St. Mark, this is where Christ come to them when they was... this was where he was in the ship, asleep, and the storm arose, and Christ, listen to this, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And, you know, as I was reading that, there's a thought that come to my mind. The words here in this verse, there's only three that are in red, and it's peace, be still. And all of the people that was on board the ship was scared. They was afraid the ship was going to go down. And Christ was there asleep, just as restful as could be. It wasn't bothering him one bit because he knew who it was that was watching over him. He had perfect peace through it. You'll find another place where Christ was walking upon the water and it was cold, and here the disciples, they was concerned about it, and here they come seeing Christ walking on the water, and Peter gets out to walk on that very water, going to Christ, and the waves are rolling, and he becomes scared about it. But that same thing, Christ was walking upon it, peaceably fine with no fear. He had peace within himself. He had peace with the Heavenly Father. It didn't matter what was going on around him. He was living in peace. And then he come up here, and he said, peace be still. What a terror I can begin to understand it. And there, Christ just said, peace be still. And there come a perfect calm. Well, you and I, the devil, when he tries to tell us that this storm that we're facing is too great, we can just lift our eyes toward the Lord and know that if the storm don't pass, if we're going to have to go through it, He's got a perfect path for us to walk through that storm. It's not that we're going through in the waves going over us and sinking us. But He's got us a path that we can walk on the top of that storm and be a light to those around about us. You know, there's all kinds of people that when they hear the word cancer, it scares them to death. They just get terrified if a doctor told them you've got cancer. But you know, a Christian, they may request prayer for themselves. The doctor's told me I've got cancer. And if the Lord don't take a hand, I won't be here long. But if their heart's right with God, they can greet death in peace. They can greet death without fear. Why? They know then victory is theirs. You and I today, oh, don't listen to what the devil has to say. Don't listen to him when he says, there is no big blessing. Just like if somebody comes to you, today we have books and you can look it up and see the picture of the giant redwood. You got books, you can look it up and you can see the waterfall down there in Yosemite. All in every thousand of feet down the side of a rock mountain. You can look in a book and see the picture and you have to go there. How many thousand feet did it fall? And you can say, well, I know now what they said is true. But let me tell you, there's nothing like standing there. Hear the roar of that water as it falls. See that beautiful rock mountain there and the water rolling all over. See that beautiful tree growing. Walk beneath them and feel how tall that ground did. There's nothing that beats being there. You might think, my problems are too great. If Christ can calm a storm with three little words, He's got everything you need to calm the storms in your life and to straighten the things out. He's just waiting on you to ask. Christ was sound asleep, enjoying his rest. He was, I guess, enjoying the rocking of the ship. They were terrified and he was just enjoying the rocking of the ship. Why? The Heavenly Father knew right where he was at. You know, that's one thing a Christian can enjoy. No matter where you're at, God knows where you are. And he said, I'm watching over you. Every one of us, it's got to go out of this life. The Lord tarries by the way of death. So Christians die too. But it's a whole lot different in the way that you meet the death angel. As I've testified so many times about the old preacher
dying with rock dust that couldn't speak. Above a whisper, they had to just put their ear almost on his lips to understand what he was saying. But just a few minutes before he died, they could hear him all the way down the hall in the hospital singing, "Lord, I've been waiting to go." And when they laid him back down in bed, he was gone. Was he dying with fear? No, he wanted to go out praising the Lord. So God, give him his voice back to do it one more time. You and I today, is that a blessing? Yes, it is. That was a testimony to anyone that heard it. That God is real. About the Father's business. If the devil's told you you're too bad, you can't be forgiven, or if he's told you you can't live without what I've got to offer, I can tell you he's a liar. He don't have nothing to offer that you can't do without. You know, there's people in life that think they cannot do without sex. They cannot do without drugs. They cannot do without alcohol. They cannot do without gambling. They cannot do without whatever you want to put in that spot. But when you come and try the Lord and you find forgiveness, you can raise and wonder, why was that so important? Because the things of the Lord then will be so great, so important. You know, the things the devil was telling me that I couldn't do without, when I got right with the Lord, it wasn't that it was a struggle for me to do without it. It was then me wondering, why did I think I couldn't do without it? Why was it so important to me? Because when I turned around and looked, I hated the very things that he was using to keep me in bondage. I hated them. It's just like a man that's been in chains in prison and in his town. He might have thought because he had lived his whole life bound up by them chains that he couldn't make it without it. But when he gets out and he looks back and he has a taste of freedom, he says, "Why on earth did I like that? Why did I want to be that way? When I think that he has that you can't live without. But as we mentioned a week or so back in a message, people, they talk about and praise and act like Las Vegas is something great. But then, in the same thing, they advertise Sin City. Do you realize in America, there's all kinds of things that's sort of thrown in a package and they call it a sin tax because a tax is put on every one of these things. And you realize years ago everybody understood they were a sin. But today there's all kinds of church people that's latched on to part of them and they try to defend it. But there's still what's referred to, the government refers to it and politicians refer to it as a sin tax on these. Why? Because they recognize it was a controlling device over people. It was a thing that People, once they got addicted to it, they couldn't resist it.
God can break that bondage that those things have on you. Now, God can give you the strength to resist every one of them. Why? Because He puts within you a new heart and a new nature. And it changes. You're no longer the same. You know, I've heard of people that there's a man in North Carolina. He got right with the Lord. And he said, the next week after getting right with God, he said, I felt so different to walk down the street to the city and see a policeman. He said, before, he said, I could be coming down the street. And he said, if I'd seen a policeman's uniform, I would duck in a store. I'd turn and go the other way. He said, because I didn't know the one. Maybe he was looking for me. And I was scared. But he said, what a relief it was to walk down the street. And when I seen that policeman, absolutely no fear. Why? Because I'd be sober. I knew what I'd done. If it was just as wrong, I didn't have to worry about where I did. Was the law looking for me? Because I'd been in church worshiping God. He said, I didn't have to worry when I lay down in my bed to go to sleep at night. If somebody knocked on the door, it won't be her. Will I run out the back door because there's a hall? I knew that they weren't looking for me. So I had done anything. That faith in there. God said, I can give you faith. Not only you not have to be afraid of the law here, you don't have to be afraid of the devil and what he's trying to do to you, because you got one there with you that can give you peace and comfort, that you can lay down and get good rest. And each and every one of us, if we will just remember all of the things that we've seen in life, that anybody that hasn't seen them, if they didn't know by encyclopedia or seeing it on television or a documentary or something or other, if they hadn't seen it in some of that, that wouldn't really believe you. And you say, well, but I know because I've seen it. Well, that's the same way I'm wanting you to know about God. I can't explain it good enough. I can't describe it. I can't tell you how it makes you feel. You know, I've heard so many preachers say, oh, we're not saved by feeling. And they try and get people to come and just read them some scripture and say, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Then you're a Christian. I want you to have something better than that. Believing unto salvation. Not me telling you you're a Christian. You telling me that you're one. You telling me I've been forgiven. That makes all the difference. You can come and believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But where did you go on your knees to repent? Where did you ask Him to forgive you of your life of sin? Unless you do that, you can believe in vain. You must come and repent and find forgiveness. You must come and lay your life in the hands of God. Just say, my life, I've made a mess of it. Here I am, God, I need you. This crazy hell, I give it to you, Lord. God, I'm not able to take care of it myself. If you come sincere, you can find forgiveness, and the whole world will see the change. You know, I know of people coming and getting right with God, and their friends and their neighbors marvel at the change that took place. But then you hear people say, I didn't like them because of the kind of person they were. But then when they really get right with the Lord, you'll find a lot of people don't like you then either because of the person you become. Because it makes them feel guilty for what they are. You and I
when we come to the Lord, don't think that the whole world's going to embrace you. The lost man isn't going to embrace you unless he's looking for God, because he's uncomfortable to be around you. That so-called Christian is not going to embrace you if you're a true born-again Christian. Why? Because they're playing church and it makes them uncomfortable to be around a true spirit-filled Christian. The only one that's really going to embrace you is God and that true Christian. That one that truly loves God, that's presented themselves a living sacrifice unto God, they will treasure you. But the rest of the world won't. Each and every one of us, please, I beg you, look at what God has done. If you've got problems in your life that you can't solve, you know, I was speaking to a man just yesterday, and he was telling me of all that he was trying to do, that he was trying to get things worked out. He was trying to accomplish it. He was trying to accomplish that. And he just couldn't understand why that it wasn't working out for him. I said, that's because you're trying to do it. I said, when are you going to give it over to the Lord? When are you going to let God do it? You've got to put God first and say, God, I'm following you. Nothing else matters because I want you. I said, when we do that, we'll find that God's able to do what we're asking. You and I, we're going to be a failure at trying to plan and make our life what it really should be. Because we can't do it without God. While we get a verse of some song, I beg you, will you come? What's in your heart today? Do you really want the Lord? Do you really want to know what it is to have peace? Do you really want to know what it is to get on your knees about something that's important to you and pray and talk to God and get an answer that nobody else is praying, just you? And know that the God of the whole universe was listening to you. That's a blessing you can shout over, knowing that the God that created all that I see. You know, when you see them great big trees and you realize, they tell you, oh, they've been standing there for 2,000 or 3,000 years. And you think, the God that created that, the God that even put that seed in the ground from that it grew into, He's the one that I pray and talk to. He's the one that's mindful of me. I could understand if I stood as big as one of them trees, God taking notice that I was there. But for somebody as little as me, for God to take notice that I'm here, that is really something. Do you realize? He said we was less than dust on a balance. That weighs nothing. Why? They were that very perfect balance. You take and wipe the dust off, and it does knock them out of balance. Why? It didn't really weigh anything. You and I, that's just how small we are in the universe. That little tiny speck of dust. And yet the God that created it all listens unto your little tiny voice. He's mindful of you. He loves you. We might look at these little babies and think, the newest one here, Jubal, think, oh, he's so small, he's so tiny. When he was much smaller than what you're looking at there, God looked down and seen it. When even the doctors might not even recognize it being alive yet, God seen it. And he knew right then what it was going to become. You and I today, man throws away little babies. Every day he counts them as nothing. But God said, they're mine. God cares for you. While we sing, will you come? Do you want to experience what it is to really know a blessing from God? To feel the power of the Lord? Do you want to not just hear about it, But do you want to experience it yourself?
You know, I'll tell each one of you this. If you ever have the opportunity to go and see the giant redwood, the giant sequoia, the waterfalls in Yosemite, if you ever get that opportunity, I can tell you, take it. It's a life-changing experience. Why? Because I stood there and looked in that valley there at Yosemite and just thought about how mighty God must be to create such as that. To look at all of that beauty and think, my God, He done that. And then He said, I'll go to prepare a place for you. What did He prepare for us? What kind of beauty for our eyes to look upon? But I can tell you, you don't have to leave to go anywhere. Just find out what's the best that God has to offer. That's His Son. In just ending the Calvary. In just laying there on Calvary and dying red. But He come and knocked upon your heart. That's how close God is to you. That's how much He wants you to experience what He has to offer. Will you come? Nobody can make that decision for you. It's one you must make for yourself. But if you don't, just one moment after the death angel calls your number, you'll be crying, oh, give me one more chance. But for 10 million years, you might be praying that same prayer and be no closer to getting the answer. Today, He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open unto me, I'll come in. If you're walking alone, it's because you choose to be. If you're facing the world alone, it's because you choose to be. God wants to be there to go with you. But you're going to have to walk the way God wants you to.